Today's shiur is Masechta Yevamos Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. Mestamach v'ozel Rav Avua Akasvei Rav Nachum Shamei. Rav Avua was walking, leaning on the shoulder of Rav Nachum Hashamis. As we had learned in the previous shiur, at the end of the shiur, the Gemara taught us that when we have a stam mishnah, v'achkach machloikis, and then another mishnah presents machloikis, that's not considered a stam mishnah. On the other hand, machloikis v'achkach stam, it is considered a stam mishnah. And Rav Avua was walking with leaning on Rav Nachum, and they were going to discuss this subject, which is going to be the first part of our shiur today. Baruch Lener points out, why does the Gemara have to tell us how they were walking, that he was leaning on his shoulder? So he says an interesting teretz. He says the halacha is that one is not allowed to be mishtamish with a talmid chacham. One is not allowed to take advantage of a talmid chacham. So the question is, how could Rav Avua lean on Rav Nachum? Rav Nachum is a talmid chacham. So the answer that Aruch Lener says is that even though one is not allowed to do that, if during the time a Rebbe is teaching a talmid divrei Torah, then he is allowed to do it. That's what the Gemara is saying, since they were walking together. And as the Gemara teaches us, Rav Nachum was asking questions from Rav Avua, so at that point he was a Talmud, so Rav Avua was allowed to lean on him, and that's what the Gemara tells us, that's exactly what happened. Mankit v'ozah hilchus seminei. And Rav Nachum was trying to learn from Rav Avua different halachas. Barminoi, and he asked him, machlaikas v'akach stam. If there's a machlaikas and a mishnah, and then afterwards Rebbe says a stam, doesn't quote the machlokes, just quotes one opinion. What's the din? Amalei halachkastam. That's the opinion to be followed la halacha. And as the mefarshim explain, even though we've learned and will amitz Hashem learn so many times that halacha kastam mishnah, this is even more powerful than a stam mishnah. Because here we had that Rebbe quoted the machlokes, and after he quoted the machlokes, he chose one opinion to be the right opinion, so it's a proof that's the opinion to be followed. On the other hand, stam v'achkach v'achkach machloikis, first the Mishnah presents a stam opinion, and then it represents a machloikis. What is the halacha? Amalei ein halacha k'stam. That's not considered a stam Mishnah. Stam v'de masnisen. In the Mishnah, it's quoted as a stam. Or machloikis v'braisa, but the braisa quotes it as a machloikis, my, what is the din? Amalei halacha kastam. We follow the stam. Machloikas in masnisen. If there's a machloikas in a mishnah, the stam of a brice, but in a brice it's stam. My, what is the din? Amalei, she says, it's difficult to understand how such a circumstance could come about. V'chi Rebbe loishana. The mishnayas were written by Rebbe. The brices were written by Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yishya, who were the talmidim of Rebbe. So if Rebbe loishana, if Rebbe never quoted this din as a stam, Rav Chiya, who prepared the brises, minayinlei. So how could we have such a situation? Amalei, so he asked, how could you say that we always follow a stam mishnah v'tanan? There's a mishnah masechta kelim. And the introductory words to say when we learn this mishnah is a din that we've learned many times. Kelim, vessels, utensils, are makabel tumah. But if they're broken, they're not makabel tumah. Discusses the Mishnah. Masrik shalpishtin, a comb used to comb out flax. Shenitlu shinov, whose teeth of the comb were removed. V'nishtai b'shtayim, as long as two teeth remain in the comb, t'meis. It's still makabel tum, it's still considered a keli. V'achas, but if there's only one tooth left, tahir it's not makabel tum. V'kulon, shenitla now we have these individual teeth that were broken off from the comb. Timaeus, they're considered kalim and the makabel tumah. Shaltsemer, a comb used to comb wool. Shenitla shina achsmanatayim. In between three teeth, the middle tooth was removed. Tahor. It's not considered a kali anymore. It's not makabel tumah. Nishtair ba gimel ba makam echot. If three teeth are left in consecutive in one spat, tummy. Then it's still considered a keli. If one of the three teeth, that the Mishnah just taught us has to remain, that it should still be considered a keli, is the outside tooth, tohar. Why? Because like we know on a comb that's used to brush hair, the outside tooth is like a fatter tooth. It's just there to keep the comb in shape. It's not actually what's used to comb, and that's why it's not considered one of the three essential teeth that keep this comb be considered a keli. Nitla base, if two teeth were removed from the comb, for osnila malakate, and they were formed into a tweezer, tameis, then it's still considered a keli, as makabel tuma. Achas, if one tooth was removed from the comb, the skin alaner or lemituach, and it was prepared to be used to clean out a cup holding a wick, or it was used to keep material in place for the weaving process, tameya. Then it's considered a keli as makabel tuma. So here we have a stam mishnah. Yet ask the gemara for kaimelon the ein halacha kaisa mishnah. We don't follow the halacha of that mishnah. But we just finished learning halacha k'stam mishnah. Here we have a stam mishnah. Why is that not considered the halacha? Amalei, so he responded, barminei dehi. Don't ask questions from that mishnah. The Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish d'amr tevayu. Both Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish told us, zuena mishnah. This mishnah is not to be considered an authoritative mishnah. My tama, why is it not considered an authoritative mishnah? Amar of Mehuna, by Menoich Mishmeder of Idi, Bereder of Ika, Mishum de Kasha, Reisha L'Seifa. Because there's an internal contradiction in this Mishnah. The Tani, the Mishnah says, Shetzemer, by the wool comb, the Reisha L'Seifa is the first part and the second part of the second part of the Mishnah, the part that talks about a comb used for wool, says, the Tani Shetzemer, the comb used to brush wool, Shnitlo Shina Achs Menetayim, if one of the teeth was removed, tohar. It's no longer considered a keli. Ha, what would be the obvious diik? Nishtayr b'shtayim b'mekam echad. As long as you have two consecutive teeth left, tamei. It's still considered a keli. For hadatani, yet this mishnah itself teaches us nishtayr b'gimel. Only if three teeth remain, is it tamei? Is it makabel tuma? Gimel in only three teeth can make it still be considered a keli. Shtayim, but two teeth, loy. So there's internal contradiction. What is going to be the status of you have only two teeth left? According to the ratio, it seems that it'll still be considered a keli. According to the sefer, it seems that it won't be a keli. This is what caused them to consider, says the Gemara, the Mishnah, a non-authoritative Mishnah. Ask them, Ramai Kusha. This is not a question that can be answered. Dilma, haba gavaisa, haba b'braisa. Rashi says two pshatim in this teretz. Rashi says that the second teretz is the ikar, is the right, the second explanation that he offers is the right one. So we're going to explain the Gemara with Rashi's second explanation. He says this comb had two rows of teeth. And apparently each row was there for a different purpose. The inner row was there to grip the wool, and the outer row was used to actually do the combing. The row that's used to grip the wool, the inner row, only needs two teeth to be considered still a keli. The outer row, to be considered useful, has to have three teeth. So there's no steer in the Mishnah. The part that says you only need two teeth is talking about the inner row. The part that says you need three teeth is talking about the outer row. Makes the Chazon Ish an obvious observation. So now, after learning this Gemara, for the comb to be considered a comb, you really need to have five teeth, minimally. Two in the inner row, and three on the outer row. Ella, so that can't be the reason that this Mishnah should not be considered authoritative. El Mahoch. The proof is from this, the part that's troublesome with the Mishnah is this. The Tanai, the Mishnah says, for kulin shnitla achas achas b'fnei atzmon, if each tooth is removed individually, tameis. That each tooth is still considered a keli, as makabel tuma, v'avgav d'lo yiskin, even though you didn't do any specific preparation to it. Ema Seifa, but let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Achas, if you have this one tooth, the skinel in there, and you prepared it to use it to clean out a wick, or the mituach, or for the material, tmeya. So what does the Mishnah here say? His skinel in, only if it was physically prepared in, then is it considered a keli, lay a skinel law. So we have a contradiction. Does the one tooth to be considered a keli require tikkun to be considered a keli, or is tikkun not required? That's what the Gemara wants to suggest, made them believe that the Mishnah is non-authoritative. Amar Abaye, my kusha, this is not a question that can't be answered. Dilma, ha b'kitaya, ha b'lo kitaya. It makes a difference when that one tooth was broken off, there was a broken off with the base under it. If it was broken off with the base under it, so it's still considered a keli. And that's what the Mishnah says, you don't have to do a tikkun. If it was broken off without its base, it's not considered a keli, unless you're misakin it. So there's no question. Rapapa answers, tries to give a different terrors. Omer Rapapa, my kosha. V'dema hobika tanisa, hoba limta. It matters how fat those teeth are. A skinny tooth is not going to be considered a keli unless you actually are misakin it. A fat tooth that has some presence to it doesn't need any tikkun. So it's no question. So we're back to where we started. We've been learning that we always follow a Stam Mishnah. Here we have a Stam Mishnah. No problem with the Mishnah, yet Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish tell us not to follow it. Says the Gemara, you know why? El Mishim Desayim Avay Dafkani. Dafkani means the people who are Medayik, the people who are careful to repeat the exact wording on the Mishnah properly. There are four words that we missed. Zu Diver Reb Shimon. This Mishnah is not a Stam Mishnah. This Mishnah represents the Sheet of Reb Shimon. Yes, if it were a Stam Mishnah, fine. It's not a Stam Mishnah. It only represents the position of Reb Shimon. So we go back to our sugya. We learned in the Mishnah and discussed in the Gemara that the halacha is that a woman whose marriage terminates, the way the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, teaches us, is makes a difference if the termination was because of a divorce or because of the death of the husband, is not allowed to get married for 3 months till from the termination of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Sholach Rav Chiya bar Oven, Ma'asin Toich Gimel. Even though Nisuin may not take place for 3 months, as we learned yesterday, because we need to know who the father is. And interestingly, I saw an interesting comment from Chaim Kinyevsky. He says, and again, we're not talking Laloch Lamaisa. He says, as we've been learning in the Shiurim, that it's so important for the child to really know who his father is. He says, perhaps that's why one should be careful that if he adopts children, that the child should know that that's not, that these are not really his parents. Because our Gemara is going to such great length to make sure that everybody should know who his father really is. So he says, Ma'arsin, however, if only Erisin will take place. When Erisin takes place, there is no relations yet, so there's no concern that we won't know who the child is. We'll let it be Ma'aris Toch Gimel, V'kein Oysa Maisa. So the Aruch Laner asks a question. He says, yesterday in the Shia we learned that Rabbi Yochanan first wanted a paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that Erisin may take place within the 3 months, because the Gemara wanted to suggest that the Tanakam Va'Mishnah is only Rameya. But as we ended yesterday's Shir, the Gemara said it was a Rabbim. So the Aloch is like the Rabbim, like the Rabbanon. So we're back, how could he paskin like Rabbi Yossi, when the Gemara taught us yesterday that the Rabbim, the Rabbanon, say not like this? Staruch and their answers, there are two parts to the halacha that the Rabbanon taught us. One part is that the Rabbanon hold that the way we understood it, now Aruch Laner is explaining to us differently, that Erisin is not allowed to take place within those 3 months. And another halacha was that if a woman was only mu'reses, so there's no question that she's not pregnant, they never had relations, she doesn't have to wait the 3 months. Says Aruch Laner, when the Gemara said at the end of yesterday's shiur that this represents the sheet of the Rabbanan, that's only regarding the issue that even a mu'reses cannot get married for 3 months. But regarding the position that Rabbi Yossi articulates, that ma'arsin, that every woman should be allowed to have erisin within the 3 months, because there's nothing to worry about, that the Rabbanan don't argue, and that's why Rabbi Chiya kapaskin like Rabbi Yossi regarding that concept. Continues the Gemara. He taught us a different halacha. Ruba Shel Rishon, we've been talking about 3 months. He says of most of the first month, Veruba Shel Shlishi, and most of the third month, Vemtsai Shalim, and the middle month, that is enough of a gap between the two marriages. So the Rishonim offer two ways of explaining this Gemara. One way is very simple. Till now we've been learning you need 3 months, 90 days, as we'll discuss in a moment. He's saying you don't need to wait 90 days. You only need to wait 62 days. Ruba Shel Rishon is 16. Ruba Shel Shlishi is another 16. It's 32. Plus the middle 30 is 62. That's how some Rishonim learn.
Why doesn't he just say 62?
So the other Rishonim answer, the pshat that the other Rishonim answer says, answers your question. They explain, it's not just he says 62 and that's it. He says the basis for Rabbi Loza's ruling is that he follows the concept of Ruba Kekula. In halacha, we always look as the majority as the whole. So if the first marriage terminated before the 14th day of the month or earlier, so we have most of the month left. So we say in the first month, Ruba Kekula, and it's considered like you had the whole month. The same on the last month. Once 16 days of the last month pass, again, we say Ruba Kekulai, and it's most of the month, it's considered like the whole month passed. Why would it be the nafkamina if the marriage ended on the 15th or later in the month, then according to this pshat, Rabbi Lezer would agree that you can't, 62 days is not enough. Ameima, Sharl La'aris, B'yom Tishim. Ameima allowed Erisin to take place on the 90th day. And the Rishonim here to point out, even though Rabbi Lezer was just makel 62 days, whatever pshat we learned, a maimer is allowing day 90, that's only regarding erison. For as we have explained, there's not really that much of a concern when erison takes place, they're not having relations. Nesuin, everybody will agree, we have to wait the entire time, because there the concern of a mix-up is real. Amalei, Rav Ashi LaMeimer, asks Rav Ashi LaMeimer, how could you allow Erisin to take place on day 90. For Rabbi Shmuel, Amri Tavayu, Tzricha, Lahamtin, Gimel Chadoshim, the woman has to wait 3 whole months, Chutz Miyom Shemesbay, besides the day that the marriage was terminated, the Chutz Miyom Shinis Arsaba. So we see you have to wait for the whole time. Answers the Gemara, Hahul Inyam Anekis Itma. As we learned yesterday, there's another time when a woman's not allowed to get married. If she's nursing, that we learned yesterday, she has to wait for 24 months, because we explained, the Gemara explained, that we don't want her to get pregnant, and she'll lose her milk, and the child or the first husband won't have anybody to support him. So as the Rishonim explained the Gemara beautifully, when we have a child in front of us, who's nursing from his mother, we have a responsibility to make sure that nothing should happen to this child. That's where Chazal, a so medadik, that 24 months, have to be a full 24 months. No shortcuts. Here, we're not dealing with a situation that we really have a problem. We're just concerned she may be pregnant, she may get pregnant, and then we won't know who the father is. That's much less of a concern. That's why in that halacha, Chazal were a little more lenient. The Rabbi Shmuel de Amri Tavayu, as Rabbi Shmuel both taught us, Tzrich l'hamtem chof dalet chodesh, the 24 months that the nursing mother has to wait, chutz miyom shneilaboy, doesn't include the day where the baby was born, the chutz miyom shnisasba, and also doesn't include the day where she become a rhesus. Interesting shaila that the Paiskim discuss. He was saying that a nursing mother, this is loch lemaisa, has to wait 24 months. What does that mean? What's going to be the halacha if it's a leap year? Do we wait 24 months or do we wait 2 years? 2 years is 25 months because a leap year has 13 months. It's machlokes a Paiskim. And then I, interestingly enough, saw the third shita, that here we don't, even though in the Jewish calendar, we always follow the lunar year, for this halacha, we follow the solar year. And you have to wait 365 days. Ask the Gemara, for who the Ovid Sudas Erisin B'yom Tishim, there was somebody who made a Sudas Erisin on day 90, and Rava made them throw it out. But we're saying that day 90 for Erisin is permissible. Hahui sudas nesuan havai. Says the Gemara, that wasn't a sudas erison, it was a sudas nesuan. The chesed halacha is tzrich lahamtin chavta lachaydish, as we just finished explaining. But a nursing mother, we have to be so careful, and that's why you have to wait full 24 months. Chutz miyom shnoi leboy, the chutz miyom shnes arsaba. And the same thing for the 3 months, every woman has to wait. It's an interesting word from the Brisker Rav. The Pasuk says, V'yas Avram, Mishta Godl, Avram made a big feast, B'yoyim Higomel Es Yitzchak Benoy. So Rashi explains what's B'yoyim Higomel. It was the day that Sarah stopped nursing Yitzchak. Ask the Brisker Rav, Sarah having a baby was such a tremendous nace. A woman who was an akara, she's 90 years old, has a baby. The Torah doesn't talk about a large bris milah being made for Yitzchak. The Torah talks about, which is a mitzvah, we all know, bris milah. The Torah talks about the day that she stopped nursing, which we don't even find in halacha that she's supposed to make a party that day. It's a new party. So he answers the Brisker Rav, a beautiful teretz. He says, of course it was a tremendous nace that Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, an akara, has a child. But we also have to think about her nursing. Every day, for 24 months, a woman who was 90 years old, never had a baby before, nursed. Which is a bigger nice? He says, that's a bigger nice. Avraham Avinu, when he made a suda, recognized which is the greater nice, and thanked Hashem for it. So as we learned in the Mishnah, Chutz min almana, so Rabbi Yossi, at least at this point of the Gemara, we'll Mitzvah Shem, learn the Maskana. Rabbi Yossi, at this point of the Gemara, says that a woman is allowed to become mureses immediately. Because there's no concern, there's no relations permitted, there's no concern of not knowing who the father is. However, Rabbi Yossi didn't say, Hilchas Avelis, that if a woman becomes an almana, if a woman's marriage terminated because her husband died, she's not allowed to get mureses for 30 days because she's an Avelis. Ask the Gemara, Amr of Chizda Kavachoymer, I could present the Kavachoymer to question this din. Uma b'mokim, sh'osl kabis, in a place where one may not do laundry, mutala ares, still erisin is permitted, mokim sh'mutala kabis, where laundry is prohibited, erisin is permitted, so mokim sh'mutala kabis, ain't a din sh'mutala ares, so in a place where laundry is permitted, certainly erisin should be permitted. Ask the Ramayi, what does Rav Chizda mean? The Tanan. The Mishnah says in Masechta Tainus, Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'av Betoichai, the week of Tisha B'av. And again, this is interesting, because if we learn the Mishnah, I think we pointed this out when we learned Masechta Tainus, the Mishnah seems to follow the halacha the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Sfardim. We, Ashkenazim, follow 9 days. We start acting 9 days from Rosh Chodesh. The Mishnah talks about Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'av Betoichai, the week of Tisha B'av. In fact, I saw interesting Shaila. What happens if Tisha B'av is on Shabbos? So if Tisha B'av is on Shabbos, we actually do Tisha B'av on Sunday. Will there be a Shavuot Shechal B'av that year? It is the Shavuot Shechal B'av, but we're not doing Tisha B'av. It's Machlokes HaRishonim. So Shabbos Shechal Tisha B'av B'toichai, Os L'Sapel Chabbos. That week one may not take a haircut, one may not do laundry. U'B'chamishi, Mutar B'nei Kfar HaShabbos. So the way the Ritva explains this is if Tisha B'av comes out on Friday, and our calendar can't happen. Tisha B'av can never be on a Friday. But in their calendar could happen. So if Tisha B'av is on a Friday, so on Tisha B'av itself you're not allowed to do laundry. On Tisha B'av itself you're not allowed to take a haircut. But it's Erev Shabbos. So take the haircut and do the laundry on Thursday. However, says the Magen Avraham, the only person who's allowed to take a haircut that time is the person who takes a haircut every week L'Kavod Shabbos. That week you shouldn't all of a sudden start being makbid on a haircut for L'Kavod Shabbos. Again, it's not relevant in our calendar. But Tanya, Kodem Zman Hazeh, before this time, Rashi says Kodem Zman Hazeh means the week of Tisha B'av, Mematim Beskeim, they used to curtail doing business, Melisa Melitain, they don't do so much business. Mefarshim discuss what does it mean you don't do so much business. Most Mefarshim say it's not talking about essential items, we're talking about extras. Similarly, Melivnois, Tyson says when we say we don't do building, they used to build special chuppas and special homes for real luxury. That shouldn't be done that week. Arson is permitted. You're not allowed to actually do nesuin. The ain oisin sudas erisin. Sudas erisin, even though erisin is mutter, sudas erisin is prohibited. So what do we see here? The week of Tisha B'Av, laundry is prohibited, erisin is mutter. After Shiva, and again, I'm not talking halach l'mayis echus avelis, laundry is permitted. So if laundry is permitted, certainly erisin should be permitted. Just to go speak about this for a moment, so we should get confused as we learn the sugya. What we do today as an engagement party is not erisin. Erisin is kedushin. This is something where it really doesn't have much of a makar in halacha. Actually, I saw Rabbi Yoshev does discuss la halacha, what is the din during the Shavuot Shechabai, during the 9 days, regarding what we call a lachayim or a vart. So Rabbi Yoshev says that to get engaged is certainly permissible. And if they serve at the engagement party, cake, nash, it's also permissible. But to make a suda is not permissible. Ki tanyahi. So we see. So the Gemara's question is, why is erisin also during the shloshim? Answers the Gemara, ki tanyahi, kaidim the kaidim. It's not talking about the week of Tisha B'Av. It's talking about the week before Tisha B'Av. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, the kavachaymer. The kash is still here. The kaidim, nami kavachaymer. We still have the same question. During the week before the week of Tisha B'Av, where business may not take place, Mutal Ares was saying that erisin is permitted. Mokam shmutal lisevelitain. During, after the Shiva, people go back to work. Ain't a din. Shemutal Ares. So now the question is, why does Rabbi Yossi say that erisin is prohibited during that week? During that time from after the Shiva till the end of the Shloshim. Just a little more halacha l'maisa for Shavuot Shechabai. As I said before, in our Ashkenazim follow that we start the 9 days in Rosh Chodesh Av, but there are certain areas in halacha where the Paiskim even say for Ashkenazim there's a difference between the Shavuot Shechabai and the week and from the 9 days. One example is if somebody's making a bris, that the halacha is that the Moel, the Sandik, and the Baal Bris are allowed to take a haircut and shave. That's only from Rosh Chodesh, but Shavuot Shechabai they're not allowed to. In fact, I even saw a Shas Tshuva Space Avi that says a Bar Mitzvah boy, if his Bar Mitzvah is in the 9 days, as long as it's not Shavuot Shechabai, even if he's from an Ashkenazi background, he may take a haircut. So says the Gemara. So how do we understand Rabbi Yossi? Says the Gemara, Loi tamed Rabbi Yossi, I'm a kol noshim yis'arsu, ela I'm a kol noshim yinasu. So now the Gemara opens up Rabbi Yossi all the way differently. He's saying, according to Rabbi Yossi, erisin is always permitted. Because as we're learning, there's no reason to prohibit erisin. What Rabbi Yossi is teaching us, and this is not the way we learned the Mishnah, it's not the way we're going to learn the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi is saying that even the suin is permitted as soon as a marriage terminates. But Rabbi Yossi teaches us one little wrinkle, that if the husband died, she shouldn't have the suin during the shloshim. Ask the Gemara, the lesser Rabbi Yossi lahavchin. Rabbi Yossi doesn't agree to the concept of avchana, that we should not get confused here who the father is. So how could Rabbi Yossi say that a woman should be allowed to have nisuin within 3 months of the termination of the marriage? Answers the Gemara, we have to change. That can't be pshat in Rabbi Yossi. Because how could Rabbi Yossi not agree to the concept of avchana? Yet, how do we explain Rabbi Yossi? The way to explain Rabbi Yossi is as follows. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol arusis groshos yinasu. According to Rabbi Yossi, if a woman only had erisin, so she never had relations with her first husband, so she and the husband and the marriage terminated with a divorce, so there's no avelis, that's where Rabbi Yossi holds she's allowed to get nesuin right away. But now teaches us the Gemara, if nesuin alone, ask the Gemara, and the Gemara says, let's read it inside, so according to Rabbi Yossi, a woman who was in Arusa is allowed to get married right away, nesuin, unless there's a problem of avelis. So what's the difference between him and Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, ikvenai nesul li'aris. If a woman had a full-fledged marriage, is she allowed to have erisin as soon as the first marriage terminates? Rabbi Yehuda sava nesum ataris laris. She is. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda says, since all she's getting is Erisin. And when Erisin takes place, there's no relations, so I allow Erisin. Now, the Gemara is jesting, and that's going to be the way the Gemara ends. Rabbi Yossi is more machman than Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi says that even though conceptually Rabbi Yehuda is correct, and a woman who's only receiving Erisin, and therefore will not have any relations with her husband, should theoretically be around to be mureses, says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi, sova, nesua isura le'aris. We don't allow the woman who was previously nesua even to receive Erisin. Why? So Rashi explains, because we're concerned that if we allow her to have Erisin, the natural next step is to have nesuin. And nesuin is prohibited. So that's why we don't even allow Erisin. So the nafkamina at this point between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi is a woman who had nesuin, is she allowed to receive Erisin during these 3 months? Rabbi Yossi says no. Rabbi Yehuda says yes. Ask the Gemara, v'sover Rabbi Yossi nesua asura le'aretz, does Rabbi Yossi indeed hold that a woman who had nesuin for the first 3 months after her marriage ends, even Erisin is prohibited? V'tanya Rabbi Yossi oimer, kol hanoshim yis'arsu, all women are allowed to receive Erisin during these 3 months. Chutz me'almana, besides the issue of a widow, mnei ibo, because she has to be an avelis, and it says the Braisa, Kamal Ibashalo, how long is the Avelis? Shloshim Yoim. The Kulon, but Lo Yinosu, Achielem Gimel Chadashim. So here we've seen that Rabbi Yossi does allow Erisin during these 3 months. So how could you suggest that Rabbi Yossi holds that if the woman was previously in the Suah, she may not even receive Erisin during these 3 months? Says the Gemara, Hai Mei Kasha. That's not a question. Ilem Diktani, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Anoshim Yisarsu. What's your question? Because Rabbi Yossi uses the words that all women are allowed to receive Erisin. Mi Alima Mesnisin. Rabbi Yossi used those words in our Mishnah also. And how do I explain the Mishnah, says the Gemara? Do Kimna, we explain that the Mishnah is referring to a specific woman. Berusus Grucius, that the woman was only previously Mureses, and the marriage ended with a divorce. So she was only Mureses, and there's no issue of Avelis because they divorced. That's why she's allowed to receive Erisin. Hachanami, that's what I'm going to say when the Braisa says, Kol Arusus, all women are allowed to receive Erisin. It's not talking about all women. Kol, all women who are Arusus and Grushus. But a woman who hadn't suin previously, Rabbi Yossi will hold Erisin is not permitted. Says the Gemara, the problem facing the Gemara was the Sefer of this Braisa. The Sefer, the Braisa said, the Kulon lo yinasu, nesuin may never take place, achel and gimel chadashim, until there's a gap of 3 months. What does the Braisa seem to be saying? In subi hu deloy, nesuin may not take place during these 3 months. Ha, isrusi shapadami, erisin may take place. I, we're learning now that Rabbi Yossi says that erisin may not always take place. If the woman was previously in the sewer, erisin may not take place. Answers the Gemara, Amarava Tritz for Emehachi. The way to explain the Brice is as follows. Again, the same line of reasoning. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Arusus Grushus Yunasu, all women who had these two qualifications, that they only were Murasois, and the marriage ended with divorce, they may have Nesuin Chutzman Almanam Bnei Ebel. But a woman who was previously Nesua may not have even Erisin. And again, repeats the Braisa, V'kama Ibo Shalah, Shloshim Yoim. However, the Nesuas, a woman who was previously Nesua, she, Lo Yis'arsu, may not even receive Erisin, Acheyelam Shloshim Chadashim, until 3 months pass. Ask the Gemara, so what are we learning now? This hasn't changed. The Rabbi Yossi holds that if a woman was Mureses, only Mureses, and the marriage terminated because her husband unfortunately died, she can't get married for the first 30 days. She can't even receive Erisin. Why? She's an Avelis. Ask the Gemara, V'almanim and Erisin, Miss Le'ibel, does a woman who's only had Erisin have to be B'Avelis if her husband died? V'tan Rebchi Bar Ami, Ishta Rusa, if there's a Kayin who only had Erisin with a wife. So normally a Kayin is not allowed to become Tamei. But to a wife, he does become Tamei. But if the entire relationship that existed between the Kohen and his wife was only in a relationship of Erisin, then the halacha is like einin v'leim v'tamala. He's now become an einin, and he's now become tameh. He's a kayin. V'kain he like nenes v'leim v'tamala. She doesn't become an einin when he passes away, or doesn't become tameh. And the Rishonim ask, a woman is allowed to become tameh. By kayin, there's a concern if he is or isn't allowed to become tameh. What does it mean v'leim v'tamala? So they explain that it means to say that she doesn't have to become tameh. If they had nesuin, so the husband has to become tameh to the wife goes to the husband. Here, since they only had erusin, there's no din of tumah, there's no din of avelus. Mesa, if the wife died and all they only had was erusin, ain't a yarsha. Even though, as we've learned, that a husband inherits a wife, that's only if they had nesuin, not if they had erusin. Mesu, however, if he dies, even though they only had erusin, goivik subasa. She is entitled to a ksuba. And the Rishonim explain why. Because when the ksuba is written, the ksuba is written before the erusin, and generally in the ksuba there's a condition, there's a clause that that even though they only have erusin, should this marriage terminate, she's already entitled to the ksuba. But our question is very fundamental. Here we see that if all they only had was erusin, there's no din of avelus. So why is Rabbi Yossi saying that if a marriage ended because the husband died from erusin, she's not allowed to get married for 30 days? Why? She's not an avelus. Says the Gemara, El Tanaihi. Because, says the Gemara, it's a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, there's a brayse that says, Mish Chodesh Varatainis, from Mish Chodesh Av until Tisha B'Av, Ha'am Mematim Meskeim, people curtail doing business, Melis V'Litain, Meliv Nesh Latar, Umalaris Umalaisa. They now do Erisin and Nasuin. Shabbos Shechal Tishbav B'Toychai, the week of Tishbav, Osl Sapal Chabbos, there's more halachas. Laundry may not be done, haircuts may not be taken. V'yesh Oim Kol Chodesh Asar. Others say from the beginning of the month. So, says the Gemara, here this brisa says that when there's a velus from a Shchodesh Av, Erisin is prohibited. Similarly, he'll say the same thing, that erusin is prohibited by this arusa. Maskler Ravashi asks Ravashi, "Maidle aris aris mamish." Who tells you that erusin means actual erusin? Perhaps erusin means dilma lemevit sudas erusin hudaser. It's only the party that's aser, but the erusin is prohibited. Is permitted. Hola aris, the actual erus. Sin Shapidami. So we're back to our question. Even though there's a velus, erusin is mutter. So why is erusin usur? Why is Rabbi Yossi saying that this woman may not have erusin? Ihachi says the Gemara, you can't say, the Gemara wants to say, that can't be pshat by erusin. Ihachi milisa, the Brisa speaks about erusin and the suin. So you're going to say, lisa means, lisa nami la'evit, that the suin is permitted. Lisa, but the nesud is aser. Halisa shapidami. To actually have nesuin, you would say is permitted. Nobody could suggest that nesuin should be permitted. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. If we see that the Brisa says nesuin is aser, so too erusin is aser, and that's going to be the shita. That's why during this time, erusin may not take place. Ask the Gemara. You can't complain nesuin to nesuin. Bishlam hachi hashta. Can you compare erusin to nesuin? Bishlam nesuin below suda ikasimcha. Nesuin is such a great joy. So even if there's no party, there's a simcha. Ela erusin below suda mikasimcha. If you only have erusin and you also don't have a party, there's no simcha. So back to where we started. Why is Rabbi Yossi saying that during this time of avelus by the arusa she now have erusin without a suda? There's no big simcha. Just like we see that during the 9 days, or during the Shavuot Shechalboy, erusin without a party is permitted. Answers the Gemara, Elamar Vashi. You can't ask a question from Shavuot Shechalboy or from the 9 days to regular avelus. Shani avelus chadosha mevel shishana. This is a new avelus when somebody loses a close relative, her husband dies, versus Tisha B'Av, which is an avelus that's been going on for thousands of years. Furthermore, Shani Avelus the Rabbim, Avelus the Yochid. Avelus the Rabbim represents all of Klal Yisrael. And like the Mepharshim say, Soros Rabbim is Chatzi Nechama. When we're in it together, it's not so bad. So all of Klal Yisrael have of commemorating Tisha B'Av. But if somebody loses his husband, it doesn't affect all of Klal Yisrael. It's a much deeper avelus, and because it's a deeper avelus, therefore, it's an avelus that we're more lenient and allow erusin, unlike the Shloshim, where we're more machmer and don't allow erusin. But Tisus, a long Tisus here, we learned the Gemara, simply, the Gemara seems to be stating that avelus the Rabbim, avelus of Tisha B'Av, avelus Shoshana, is more lenient than avelus of an individual who loses a close relative. So I saw a tshuva from Ramosha. He writes a tshuva to my Rebbe, Reb Tovia Goldstein, and he says there that this should not be taken as a hard and fast rule. Because Reb Tovia told Ramosha, I'll show you a situation where a velus of Tisha B'Av and a velus of the 9 days is more chomer than a velus to Yachid. The halach is, says in Shulchan Aruch, that a velus of the 9 days, a child, as soon as he becomes a bar chinuch, we should train him to start doing some of the halachas of the 9 days of Tisha B'Av. But the halach is that if a child, Rachman al-Tzlan, becomes an oval, there's no din avelus. So we see here, Tisha B'Av is more chomer than avelus the yachid. And I saw the Shlomo Tzion of halacha, he explains, he says each one has a unique characteristic. On one hand, avelus the yachid is a new avelus, it's a profound, hits the family. But that's the way the world goes. People come and people leave. Avelus the rabbim, when Klal Yisrael is in Tzoros for so many years, that's much deeper avelus. It shows that we are big Tzoros, and that's why each one has its own unique component. The Paiskim also discuss, even though we're learning here that a woman is not allowed to, even though she only had an erusin, is not allowed to become reses during the Shloshim. The Paiskim do discuss that under certain circumstances, a husband, a man who loses his wife, may get remarried even right after the Shiva, where there's a concern that he has an opportunity to get married that he may not have, especially if he was Mekayim yet the mitzvah Puruvu, and also if he has small children that he needs a wife to help him, a spouse to help him raise. There's a beautiful vart from the Meshech Chachma. It says, the Gemara Masech the Pesachim quotes the Pasuk, Vayomehu, when Mashiach comes, Tikra Ishi, Klai Yisrael's relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be considered Ishis V'loi Bali, but not Bailis. So the Gemara explains, Kikala B'beis Chamiyaha, it will be like a Kala who is in her fondless home that they already had in the Suah, V'loi Kikala, not a Kala who only had Erisin. Explains the Meshech Chachma. Our Gemara just taught us a very important concept. By Nesuin, the joy is great even without a party. The Erisin, the Gemara says, for the joy to be complete, you have to have a party. Without a party, it's not such a great joy. It says, when the first and second Beis HaMikdash stood, it was great. We had the Beis HaMikdash. But it was the level of our relationship was the level like an Erisin. How do we appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because we had a party. There was a Gevaldige Shefa. There was a Shefa of Ruchnius. There was a Shefa of Gashmius. By Yoimahu, however, when Mashiach comes, the relationship between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tikra Ishi, will be like a Nesu'un. The relationship will be so deep and so great, there won't be a need for any external factors to bring the real joy that relationship will represent.